Now, the topic I want to share about is living an authentic life. And you can approach that in any number of ways. It's kind of like living in America. You know, what is, you know, you could do that, you could approach that any number of ways. And I'm going to talk tonight a little bit about just what it means to live out of our heart, out of the interior of our life. That's because authenticity, reality, really comes from our heart. In fact, I brought a prop with me here. For those of you that can't see it, this is a map that was produced in 1883. It's a map of China. I love maps, and my daughter got this for me at some secondhand store somewhere. And it's an actual map of China, or a kind of a Rand McNally type map, and she had it put on a black backboard. And it's the interesting thing about this map, it along the east coast of China, it's pretty accurate. If you compare it with a modern day map of China, everything lines up pretty good where the rivers enter the ocean and where the key cities are. It's pretty accurate. It's 120 years old. But as you move inland with this map, there's an incredible distortion as you get away from the trafficked area. And you get out close to the Tibet border, and it is very inaccurate. The rivers are running the wrong way. There's, you know, cities an inch off here, which is about 150 miles. And the farther you get in the interior, the less accurate this map is. Now, here's my thought for you about this map. And you know, some of y'all seen maps where, like, some of the old ancient maps, they have like a dragon and a devil, you know, out in some area where, you know, no one knows where it is if you've studied ancient history. And the thing about that is with our heart is that for many of us, more than we would want, the more we come into the interior of our life, the less accurate a picture people see. Now, you know, is that true of you? It's sure true of me a lot. And yet God desires that we live an authentic life, an honest life, a life lived in reality, not only before Him, but before each other. And so that's kind of the thing I want to talk to you about tonight. And I have three simple little points I want to share. And I, you know, I could share 100, but, you know, you got to have 3 points for the talk. So I got 3 little points. And the first point I want to talk to you about authentic living is the interior of our life must be the high ground. The interior of our life must be the high ground. You know what? High ground is, when I was here, there were 1,500 students in ROTC, and I was in Army ROTC, and it was right during the Vietnam War, and so on Thursday afternoon, you'd see 1,500 people parading around. And one of the things you learn about tactics is that hold the high ground. That is so critical. Now, last year, Sandy and I had a chance to go to Northern Virginia and to Pennsylvania. I studied social studies right here, and I have a lot of history. I love history. And so we made a tour of the Civil War battle sites. Those always have been so interesting to me. And, of course, you can't go on Civil War sites without going to Gettysburg. That's kind of the granddaddy of them all. And I had a chance, Sandy and I had a chance to go up on a little hill, which is called Little Round Top. And in fact, I have a little picture of it there. And what happened on that little hill, Little Round Top, just outside of Gettysburg, about a mile, was one of the most important events of American history. Now, many of you have never heard of Little Round Top. But what happened was the Confederates wanted to force President Lincoln into an armistice for a divided America. And Gettysburg was the key battle. Public opinion was against Lincoln. People were getting killed. No one liked it, just like the war in Iraq today. And so General Lee, the Confederate general, felt if he could win this battle, then he would force President Lincoln into a peace, an armistice, where the war would kind of fade away and slavery would still be okay in the South. The South could do what they wanted to do. The North would do what they wanted to do. So this was a critical battle. And there was a colonel, Strong Vincent was his name, saw the importance of this little hill. And way off in the trees there were about 3,000 Confederates that wanted that hill bad. And Colonel Vincent saw this, so he goes to his battalion commander, a guy named Joshua Chamberlain. Chamberlain was a pastor and also a professor up in Maine, and he had a group of guys from Maine under him. And Colonel Vincent told Colonel Chamberlain, he said, "I want you to hold this hill at all hazards." And what he meant by that was that there was no turning back. You stand and die defending this hill, because the whole battle hinges on this little hill. Because if the Confederates captured that hill, they could run their artillery up on it and shoot right down the Union line, and they would take the ground. And so Chamberlain tells these guys, 350 of them, hold at all hazards. And that means stand and die here. There is no retreat. You run out of ammo, it doesn't matter. You stand and hold this hill. Well, they did. And if you've studied history, the North won the Battle of Gettysburg. The Confederate Army went back south, and eventually the Union prevailed, and we have America today because, for one reason, those guys held at all hazards. Now, what does that have to do with the life that's lived authentically? Because the high ground of our life is the interior of our heart. It's not what you're doing outwardly. It's not your presence here tonight, as much as I'm glad you're here, And John, glad you're here. The BSU staff's glad you're here. I mean, we're glad you're here. But that's not a picture of an authentic interior life. It's what happens in the interior of life that's critical. And so have the interior of your life is the high ground. Jesus, in talking to some of the religious leaders of the day, Jesus realized this. He, as you know, a lot of miracles, healing miracles, provision miracles, providing fire, providing food, calming seas, all that. One of the hardest things he had to do, if you can say Jesus had a hard thing to do, was change the hearts of people. Because in the interior of our life, that's the tough ground. And that has to be dealt with. In Matthew 23, there's a couple of verses. Jesus said to the religious leaders of the time, "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. First clean the inside of the cup and dish," meaning your heart, "and then the outside also will be cleansed." You know, we can change exterior behavior and yet never live an authentic life before God and people. I mean, we can look really good in front of people. Sandy and I were with some friends just yesterday, and if you looked at their life on the outside, you would think they have no problems. They have an incredibly beautiful house. They have beautiful children, great job, very athletic. Got a room of athletic equipment. But they have some real struggles on the interior of their life. And so we can look good on the outside, but the interior can be difficult. And sometimes it takes so little to wound and hurt the interior of our life. I met with a gal about two or three years ago. And one day in her basement, she found one magazine. And she was about 7 years old when she found this magazine. And it happened to be a Playboy under some stuff that her dad had. He had some pornography in his basement. And so, as an inquisitive 7-year-old girl, she opens up and starts looking through the pages of this Playboy magazine. And right then, as a 7-year-old, she realized that she could never be as pretty as the girls in those pictures, and she knew she could never, ever please her dad, and that she would always be something less than what he wanted. Well, she comes to college, and she's cutting herself with razor blades, and she's doing all kinds of difficult, bizarre behavior. Why? Because it was rooted way down deep in her realizing for one moment that she could never meet the expectations of her dad. She could never be as pretty as her dad wanted her to be. And sometimes it takes just a little bit to begin to ruin the interior of our heart. I brought a little piece of hose that attaches to the sink in our upstairs bathroom and attaches from the water pipe into the sink. Now, you couldn't tell it by looking at it, but on one side of this little $2 plastic coupling thing here, there's a hairline crack. And you can't even see it unless you knew what to look for. That little crack caused $30,000 of damage in our home. We were in Colorado, and this little piece gave way. And we got a call saying there was 3 inches of water in our basement. They had to rip out ceilings. They had to rip out drywall. They had to rip out all the floors downstairs and about half of them upstairs. And that little tiny crack. And sometimes the interior of our life takes very little to begin to have a downward slide. So hold the high ground at any cost, at all hazard. And the high ground is the interior of our life. And I don't know what it will take for you to do that, but it's worth it, and it's costly. And you need to, first of all, see that it's worth it, your heart. Now, the second point, not only hold the high ground of your heart, your life, but embrace the journey of grieving our losses. Embrace that journey. And, you know, if you're like me, you have losses all the time. Relationships are broken. You leave friends behind. You may have an event like an overseas trip that concludes and you have to transition back. I had something recently happen where for 9 years we have been investing deeply in a place in Asia. And a family there that we've been so close to, the dad, one of my best friends, decides that he doesn't want to live with his family anymore. And this has been going on for several months. And I felt such a loss because what we have been doing to advance the kingdom in Asia all of a sudden has a dramatic turn, a downturn. It's going south. And last Monday was our staff meeting, and I was so bothered by this. And so we have 10 others besides myself on our BSU staff. And so I'm asking myself, do I want to share this with this group? And I had a choice to make. And I could play it really safe and not say anything about it. Just say, well, let's pray for this family. But I felt God wanted me to share this. And I knew in doing it, I probably would not be able to hold it together emotionally. And so I begin to share, and tears start coming down my face. And I start just weeping in front of these the rest of the staff. Some of them are young gals, just a couple years out of college, and some are older. And one guy's in his 40s. And, you know, but I thought, I need to grieve my loss, not only before God, but before people. And I don't know how good you are at that, but we have losses all the time. And, you know, we need to get good at grieving those losses, because if we don't grieve our losses, then we're going to be really hindered in being open and honest in our life with people, sharing our life. David, King David, if you look at the Psalms, so many of them deal with losses. Psalms 42, verse 3 says, "Tears have been my food day and night." And Psalms 43, verse 2, "Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy?" And David, in both of those Psalms, he's grieving the loss of his role as king, of his family. He had incredible number of losses that he went through, and he was so open with them. In fact, many of the Psalms are Psalms that struggle and loss. And so if we're going to live an authentic life before God and people, we've got to be willing to journey with others in our losses and grieve our losses. And you need to consider your life. Do I really grieve my losses? I heard a story recently of a friend who his dad walked away from the family, and he had a chance to see his dad after his dad had been gone for years. And his dad was playing poker with a bunch of other guys when he came into the setting. And his dad never acknowledged his presence. And after a couple hours, this friend of mine left. And this was after years of not seeing his dad. And he so longed to have some community with his dad. And it never happened. And this man, he's an adult now, has never fully grieved that loss. And as a result, he's struggling in his marriage, with God, with people, because he hasn't learned to grieve those losses well. That's the second point I want to share with you. Well, let me finish. I'm not quite finished with that one yet. When my youngest daughter was a young teenager, she had a chance to go on an airplane trip to Minnesota. She had never flown by herself before, and we had some frequent flyer miles. I'd been to China several times. So I take her to Kansas City. And this is a big step for me, I know, because she's heading out on a plane. And so she's walking down the, getting ready to disappear into the jetway. And so I'm this was back before 9/11, so you could be up close to the seeing people get on planes. And so I'm sitting here, I'm dying inside, and I'm saying, "Jessica, please turn back and look at me." And so right before she disappears, she stops and turns back and smiles at me and gives me a little wave. And it was like time kind of stopped there. And, you know, it's like she was saying, "I'll be okay, Dad. You know, I'll be okay. You've done a good job raising me. I'll be okay." So, you know, I'm saying, "Yeah." And so I go back to the car, and, you know, I'm kind of grappling with this whole thing. But I had to grieve a loss of a daughter becoming a woman. And, you know, that was a loss I had to grieve, and it's okay. Some losses are good and healthy. They're not all terrible. But we do have losses day in and day out. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 1:4, and Jesus says, Paul writes of Jesus, "Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." See, if we don't grieve our loss, if we don't let Jesus meet us in our loss, then we have little comfort to give to others. And so if you want to be a good minister, a good lover of people, you need to let your losses deeply touch your heart. And then, of course, God touch those losses as you do. Okay, the third point. Living authentically is worth the effort and risk. Living authentically is worth, is worth the effort and risk. Toward the end of Paul's life, he wrote to Timothy, and Timothy really had known everything about Paul. They had been together for so long. There's a great verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, speaking to Timothy, Paul writes, "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my endurance, my persecutions, my suffering." Now, was there anything that Timothy didn't know about Paul? Not only the outward part of Paul's life, but the inward part. Faith, love, suffering. Those things are internal parts of Paul's life. Timothy knew everything about Paul. And I wonder, do your friends, those that are close to you, really know your heart? Are you authentic with them? And Paul was, and he modeled that. Back last summer, I was in Colorado with some dear friends, and they kind of hoodwinked me to get up on a trail with a bicycle. I don't know if you've ever been riding mountain trails before with a trail bike, and there I am. And there's Dick in the middle and another friend, Daryl. And don't be deceived by this kind of passive-looking little meadow here. On both sides of that, there was hell to pay. And I thought, they said, the guys that have done this, well, there's green slopes and blue slopes and black slopes. And I've skied a lot, and I thought, green slopes are incredibly easy for me. I do blues and all the time, and I thought, well, it's the first time, so a green slope should be really easy. And, oh, was I wrong. And I should have got an idea when some guys were going up on the lift and they had full body armor on. And these were strong, sharp, athletic people. And they had, I don't know if you've ever seen the body armor that these guys wear going down those mountain bikes. But, I mean, they're covered totally with armor. And, we have on our helmet and gloves. That's our protection. I cannot tell you how I fought for my life for an hour and a half. I thought that I would die at the age of 56 and I wouldn't have had a chance to tell my wife goodbye. And I eventually made it down the hill, and I said, do we want to do that again? And what I really said is, I got to get out of here as fast as I can. But there was great risk in that, great challenge, but great fun in life. And if you're going to be authentic with people, it's going to cost you. There's going to be risk involved. It didn't come easy. This did not come easy for me. This was out at the very edge of my ability, and I was starting to get in pretty good shape then. I could not have done much more risky stuff than ride down a mountain trail on that little bike. And, I had guys in front of me and behind me, and, they were kind of, getting me down. But I needed those guys. I'd have never done it by myself. And so I challenge you that living authentically, just like this was tough for me, going down a mountain trail on a bike, to live authentically before people is costly, and there's great risk involved. There's a verse in Philippians 1:8 that says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. And one reason I was able to make it down this trail, this sounds kind of strange, is because those guys with me, I would say that's true about them. I love them deeply. In fact, I met these guys, Dick and the other two guys that were with us, in the late 70s at Kansas State. And I can tell you that through the years, we have lived authentically with each other. And each one of us at times have had heartbreaking things happen to us. We've cried together. We've laughed together. We've done a whole lot together. And I would say that for them, if I was in a hospital bed and both my legs were broken and they needed me, I would fall out of bed and start crawling their direction. That's the kind of relationship we have with each other. But it has been costly. We've had to work at staying in touch. It's risky to cry in front of another person, to share our losses and our grief has been a deep challenge to us. But Paul set a great example for us. Jesus set a great example for us. And God calls us to live authentically with each other. So in closing, I just want to challenge you guys to keep the interior of your heart as the high ground. Protect it. Because if you let that fall, all you got is outward activities. And I'll tell you, that's a very dull and boring life. So some of you are going to have to really work on it because you didn't have it modeled by pastors growing up. You didn't have it modeled by parents. And you're going to have to work at living out of the interior of your heart. But wow, what a trip that is. Grieve your losses. Learn to grieve well. Not in a morbid, wallowing in the mud thing, but let your loss touch your heart. And let Jesus touch that and let other people touch that loss with you. Boy, there's a richness and an authenticity with that, and really frees you to live in power of the Holy Spirit before others. And then the last thing is it takes effort and risk to do it. What I tell you is not easily done. If you're going to be standing up here where I am when you're 57 and talking about authenticity, it's going to cost you. It's a lifelong journey for me. But it's well worth the ride. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for these moments we've had together to share. Lord, just to be back here at OU brings back such memories to me, and I'm just filled with gratitude that you allowed me to be a part of the BSU here, and you allowed me to meet you and to meet people that I love here. Lord, I thank you for what you did long ago, and I thank you for what you're doing today in the lives of these dear students and brothers and sisters. And I pray that for myself and for these here, that we would learn more and more to live authentically before you, before each other, that our life would be real and genuine and honest. And Lord, from that, that you would bless many people around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.